This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Coming to you from Carter Super Studios, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to the Fastest 15. I have suddenly gotten giddy with the potential of 2020. The Jay Inslee-Donald Trump debates. That is going to be one of the greatest spectacles in political history right there. I tell you what.
I haven't heard you giggle like that in a long time.
Well, it's just, I can't believe what I'm listening to. Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson are going to save the United States Constitution. Talk about delusions of grandeur. Yeah, you guys are a regular Continental Congress. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's really been tough. I got to move on to some other stuff. I did a whole hour on that immigration thing, but we'll get back to it. And if you are just joining us, a listener sent, the three-month-old baby found abandoned in an RV in one of the RV death lots that Seattle has. It was about mid-40s, the temperature, that night of May 30th. And that's why the baby was shivering at 10 o'clock at night. And I just cannot understand why Jenny Durkin isn't wrapping her arms around kids in her city, the city she governs, before she goes gallivanting down to the Texas-Mexico border. There is something really weird. Did you hear this thing about Melania Trump and what she was wearing? Because she went down to the border today.
She did. She visited one of the detention facilities where they're holding close to 60 children.
She thanked law enforcement and the social service providers, and she just went down there to be supportive and of her husband's new policy. But when she was getting on the government plane at Andrews Air Force Base, she wore a $39 Zara military jacket. And I've seen the picture of it.
She looks great.
Did you see what the print is? The words are on the back of the jacket?
Oh, no, I didn't see the print.
Huge letters from like the collar down to the bottom of this trench coat-length jacket. The jacket said, "I don't care, do you?"
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
It says, "I don't really care."
Is that what it is? Okay. Mm-hmm. "I don't really care, do you?" Before she got, no, she didn't wear it once she got to Texas. But how is there no handler?
Where
no
is her
anybody?
Hand? What the?
How is there no common sense?
I was going to commend her for wearing something that would cost less than $40, but until you told me what's on the back of it,
that was a role reverse or reversal.
I know.
You're defending Melania and not attacking.
That's not true. I don't go one side or the other.
I know.
So anyway, but...
But yeah, what are the people thinking? There's got to be all these staffers and hangers-on, and some of them have to say, "Why don't you change jackets?"
Well, that might be, again, tone deaf.
Oh, my goodness.
She's trying to think
gracious.
Of what she really doesn't care about. It has to be a message to some, or, you know, somehow. She had to have put that on thinking, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I understand that, you know, from all media accounts, that she had quite the influence on her husband as far as changing his mind.
Family separation thing. So I cannot for the life of me imagine why she would wear a jacket like that. Okay, let's get on some local news, some other stuff that's going on in the news today, including downtown Seattle. They have a park right by City Hall. And it is just filled with homeless people. You go down there almost any time, any day, and you're going to see people passed out on the grass. And so now...
Are you talking about the one right next to the courthouse, the King County Courthouse?
Well, this is the one by City Hall. They call it, like Muscatel Park, something like that, because there's cheap wine.
Muscatel Meadows.
Muscatel Meadows, yeah. So Sally Dimebag Shaw, she says she has a vision for that park. And they've done a little bit of this at Westlake, but I don't think ping pong tables are really making a huge difference. They put some in at Westlake a couple years ago. I don't see the city getting a whole lot better. But King 5, they had a report on this and what Sally Bagshaw wants at this park.
Near the King County Courthouse, would those same changes work at City Hall Park, better known as Muscatel Meadows?
This could be a place where we brought tables and chairs in, like what we did at Westlake and Occidental.
City Council Member Sally Bagshaw has been meeting with the police chief and the Parks Department to address the problem.
When there's places for people to be and there's food and they can sit, then it gets activated, so there's space for everybody.
So she's saying that if we bring in some ping pong tables and some food trucks...
I'd be there.
Yeah, and you know who you'd be surrounded by?
I love ping pong. I know. My husband works at the courthouse, so he talks about what it's like walking there every day. It's rather scary.
Yeah, I mean, what has that done for Westlake? It's not like it's exactly cleaned things up at Westlake Center. And the fact that there are people like Bagshaw who are talking, but of course, remember, this is the woman who suggested at a city council meeting that they look into having taxpayers purchase heroin for addicts. So I'm not sure that she's really the best leader on issues like this. But yeah, so that's her plan, though. Ping pong tables and food trucks.
I heard the whole interview, and she talked about also clearing out some trees. Something needs to be done because it is overrun right now. And it is, there have been assaults. There have been, and I know police are talking about stepping up, patrolling that area, not just around the courthouse, but also, you know, through that park, et cetera, because it is problematic.
Well, and
I don't know about ping pong, but
let's add heroin too.
I hear from some of my most vocal opponents is they don't want their tax money going into buying drugs for people. And I'm like, well,
that is correct. That individuals who are consuming drugs, they bring in their own drugs. We are not providing any drugs to individuals.
But Sally Bagshaw said she'd like to look into buying the heroin for the addicts here in Seattle. So we have some great, great leadership going on in the city right now. Oh, by the way, coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to talk with a local business owner who's just absolutely heartbroken. Heartbroken because at his place of business, which they're closing down because of what's happened to, you know, property taxes and property values, Dean Hardwick, he owns Hardwick's Hardware. They've been on 42nd and Roosevelt for 99 years. And he sent me an email, a copy of an email that he sent to Mayor Durkin and city council members about a guy holding a bicycle, shaking at people, and then he just sucker punched three people, just one after another. He's just punching the tourists and the UW students and the pedestrians crossing the street. And he's telling me how absolutely heartbroken, how he literally has cried for what our city has become. So Dean Hardwick of the classic, iconic, 100-year-old Hardwick's Hardware, he's going to join us at 1:30 this afternoon and tell us more about what's going on in his neighborhood. Next up, in the Festus 15, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is bizarre, this Mill Creek city manager. So a couple weeks ago, they had an emergency, and I'll repeat, she makes $174,000 a year, which is almost what Jay Inslee makes as governor of the state. But she makes $174,000 just to be and Mill Creek, it's, you know, gotten to be decent size. But Rebecca Polizzotto, they put her on paid administrative leave. She just didn't show up on the job for about 14 weeks, and now they've put her, or for 8 weeks, and now they're putting her on another long, oh no, I'm sorry, for 14 weeks, she hasn't shown up at the job. Now they're putting her on a 45-day, so almost seven more weeks, paid administrative leave. She hasn't been on the job for months and months and months, and I'm hearing from people who live in Mill Creek, they're emailing me and saying, yeah, I saw her at the grocery store today. And they claimed that she had some medical leave, but you and I were talking about, don't the citizens deserve some specifics and some answers if somebody doesn't show up for several months now?
Yes.
And there's,
which leads me to believe that they're trying to avoid some kind of legal action, because why are they not talking?
I cannot imagine why they're not. So,
and the unfortunate thing is, you know, again, people will fill in the blanks if they're not given, if you're not, you know, as transparent as you can be, people are going to fill in the blanks, and there's all sorts of speculation.
All kinds of speculation of improprieties, and people have sent me things that I'm not going to repeat because I have no way of confirming it. But yes, it's just running rampant. They said that auditors last year, this is the Everett Herald, auditors last year flagged trouble spots with the city's bookkeeping, and just, it's a mess. But she makes $174,000 a year and gets a $300 a month car allowance. How can you not lease your own car if you're making that kind of dough off the taxpayers' back? They deserve answers, the people out there in Mill Creek. So go ahead, email me or text me on that, 98973, because I hear from people all the time, said, yeah, I saw her around town, she looks fine. But it's just this big secret, and nobody on the city council will tell us what's going on. And no way should taxpayers have to pay for a leave. We talked about this before, too. What do we have to do to get a paid leave?
I don't know. Still thinking about it.
I assume they wouldn't invite us back at the end of the leave.
You got to be willing to say bye-bye to your job.
It's called
if any of us didn't show up
will.
For
That's what we are.
For months. Yeah. If we didn't just show up for months.
How about if we didn't show up for a week with an explanation?
How about a day? I've never had a mystery disappearance for a day. I've had some disappearances, but everybody knew they were coming. Okay, next up in the Festus 15. Ooh, I'm upset about this. Because you know me. I don't really like taxes because I don't think government spends our money wisely.
Right.
So the Supreme Court today, very narrow 5-4 decision, has said that online shoppers, like if you use Amazon, you can be forced to pay a sales tax. And the standard was that the company you were dealing with, they had to have a brick-and-mortar store in your state. And then Amazon would charge your state sales tax. But now, even if they don't have brick-and-mortar, you still can be forced to pay a sales tax. And it's a bit unclear still if it's going to be based on wherever the company is located or where you live. But if it's based on where the company is located, that is literally what our country was founded on. And that's taxation without representation. If a company is headquartered for their online operation in Connecticut, you and I don't have any say in, you know, the elected leaders there and the taxes that they impose. And so we are being taxed for buying something, and we have no say on how they came up with the tax. And of course, people buying here in Washington, we're going to be among the worst because we have one of the highest state sales taxes right. in the country. So I always, do you be honest, do you buy stuff based on who doesn't charge sales tax?
No.
You don't even check that?
No.
Oh,
you know what I do?
I do.
I stop at the Starbucks in Edmonds, where I live, before I get to the Seattle Starbucks because the taxes, I think, double what it is in Edmonds. So it makes my coffee under $4 or over based on where I get my coffee.
Can't be double.
Yeah, no, I believe it. $3.70-something I pay in Edmonds and $4.10 or
really?
Yes. Oh, I'll show you the receipt.
Please do. But, yeah.
No, and the reason I don't is because money is, you know, time is money for me. So for me to you know, that's the same thing with.
You know how long it takes me to check? 20 seconds.
I just don't.
So anyway, it is going to mean hundreds of millions and maybe even billions in additional tax revenues to all of these states because they're going to be able to tax your Amazon purchases now. Okay, finally, in the Festus 15, Coco the Gorilla.
Sorry, let me just clarify. Okay. So it's not the actual tax, but it's the Seattle, how they raise the prices in Seattle.
Oh, it's a
sweetened
beverage
tax? That's what it is. It's the sweetened beverage tax.
Oh, yeah.
Or I don't know if it's that tax because I don't take my sweetened.
Yeah, that's it.
But that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay, so that'll jack it way up. You're right. Coco the Gorilla died. You know about Coco? Yeah. 46 years old. Coco was the gorilla that learned how to do sign language, and she mastered it. 1,000 words that she had in her sign language repertoire to communicate with humans. She was able to understand 2,000 words of spoken English. Coco was a celebrity gorilla, very close with both Robin Williams and the bassist for the Red.
You almost made
what?
It.
What?
No, Coco was tight with Robin Williams and with the bassist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Flea.
Oh.
Yeah.
And here's a little Coco herself.
This is Coco playing electronic keyboard. I'm sure that's not a member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers there. And of course, what I know Coco best for is...
He's giving it the T-bone. He's jumping up and down like some kind of monkey. Hey, what was the name of that monkey that could read sign language?
All right, you can have T-bone. Stop crying.
Not crying. And I shouldn't have said that about your wife. Please accept my apologies. Okay, everybody, I have an announcement to make. From now on, I will be known as...
Coco the Monkey.
Do you remember the baseball jersey George got? The number was 00, and they said, oh, for Coco? And he goes, no, for ooh-ooh-ah-ah. So anyway, may Coco rest in peace, and I hope Flea finds some comfort in all of this, too. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Ursula's going to check the news, and then we're going to talk with the owner of an iconic 100-year-old Seattle business, who has had it, and he's crying for his city. And wait till you hear the stories of what he's seeing right outside the front door of his business on 42nd and Roosevelt. We'll take you to Hardwick's coming up next. Well, several weeks ago, I talked with a local businessman, Dean Hardwick, Hardwick's Hardware there in the U District. It's an institution, a Seattle institution. And it was another one of those sad stories about the rebuilding of a neighborhood, destroying a local business. And now we're seeing some of the other ramifications of everything that's going on around the city. And Dean Hardwick sent me a copy of an email that he sent to Mayor Durkin and city council members. And I thought I would let him tell the story. So Dean Hardwick once again joins us here on Cairo Radio. Dean, good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Dory. Appreciate it.
When's the last day there at Hardwick's?
When's the last day?
Yeah.
Well, we don't really know yet. We just put up the property last week, and the broker is sending out emails to prospective buyers, and so then they're going to distill it down, and so we'll probably know in a month, depending on various things.
Okay, well, keep me posted, because I got to pop back in there again before you close down.
Yeah, darn it.
Okay, all right. Okay, so tell my listeners about what you sent to Mayor Durkin and city council members about something that a couple of your employees went through yesterday.
Yeah, one employee heard a commotion outside, and he's the cashier, and so he is free at the moment, and he walked out, and there was a lot of yelling, and it's down at the corner of 42nd and Roosevelt, which is about 130 feet from our front door. So, but he saw this fellow shaking a bicycle that he was on, but he was off of it at the moment, shaking it at the people and yelling at them. And one person tried to get away, and he followed him behind the building, but then he came back right away, according to Mark. And then he continued yelling, and then all of a sudden he just threw a sucker punch at both three people and hit them. And one fellow had to go across. Well, and then the perpetrator, he got on his bike and pedaled down the street. And my other employee saw him going down the street, and between the two employees, they just said, "Gosh, we just got to get out of here."
Man, and so, but he connected with the kids. I know how busy I drive down Roosevelt a fair amount. I know how busy that intersection is. There are a lot of UW students coming and going. There are a lot of people getting to and from the U District, and there are a lot of pedestrians on that intersection. But he connected pretty solidly, just sucker punching three people.
Yeah, this one fellow, I went out and looked. I didn't want to go down and, you know, hover over. It's bad enough when you get hurt really bad. But he was sitting over across the street on a bench, and there was one or two people talking to him. And then they had the fire department come down and administer it to him. And then probably about 15 minutes later, a police car came down and took the data from him, but information from him. But you could tell that the fellow was, occasionally holding his hand, chin, like he was probably bleeding or something, you know.
Well, this was only about 3 weeks after I know what happened to you on Memorial Day weekend, when a guy came. You sent me an email of that too. Put his fist on the hood of your car, pointed at your 24-year-old daughter in the passenger seat, and you know, tell me a little bit about that experience.
Well, that was damn scary. I see some odd people occasionally over the years, the last 40 years, but he looked he looked like Rasputin, actually, big long beard, and he was kind of a crazy guy at the end of the beginning of the Russian Revolution. But nevertheless, if Aaron was outside the car, I would fear for her life, really, and I was glad to get out of there.
Let me play for you a soundbite from Jenny Durkin a couple of days ago, because this was after father and daughter, not unlike you and your daughter, Memorial Day weekend. Father and daughter just wanted to go see a movie at the Cinerama in Belltown, and that's when a guy pretty violently assaulted them. There was that family that from out of town that wanted to go to the Space Needle, and a homeless guy with a rope tried to choke him. This is what Jenny Durkin said a couple of days ago, and I just want to get your reaction to this, Dane.
We have to make sure that we don't take one or two incidents and extrapolate too broadly from them. We have over 40 million tourists that come to Seattle every year. It's a safe place.
Seattle is a safe place, says Jenny Durkin. Your response to that?
No.
That's a pretty simple response.
Last week I was behind, which I sent also to you, the incident. I was behind a couple in their car up on 7th and 45th, and there was a panhandler there. And so while they're waiting at the light to turn green, he's going with his index finger and his thumb, acting like a gun, pointing at him,
right,
and shooting a gun.
Well, I want
this is just this is getting out of hand. And so, when you try to think that you're offering something to these people, and they're not in their right mind, pretty soon, something's terrible going to happen. I mean, it's just like if this fellow on the bicycle had a knife.
Sure.
My goodness. And it's just random acts of violence here.
Well, let me just read in closing one paragraph that you wrote here. Hardwick's has been in business for 99 years there, right?
My family moved into 12th and 42nd 99 years ago, and the business started 86 years ago.
Okay. And you said, sad to say, after 99 years, that the Hardwicks have worked and lived in Seattle in the U District, I want to leave. I used to have a sense of pride in Seattle when the Sonics won the championship and the Seahawks being recorded on the Richter scale and the enthusiasm of the people here and the loudest in the nation because of that pride. No more. They, the politicians, killed it. Killed it. Killed it. It brings me to tears, you said.
Yes.
Do you mean that literally? Do you cry? Yes. Do you cry for your city?
Yeah.
What do you think about, I mean, Jenny Durkin's down on the Texas border. I'm trying to figure out why she's not taking care of problems that are right here in our backyard before she tries to solve the federal problems.
Well, I don't think she can. She is the symbol of all the other people in the city council, and they've basically, it's getting to a point where it's like a nuclear reaction. It happens, and it's out of control. It's just going to exacerbate
yeah.
to the point that they can't, you know, their kindness, in the end, they're going to have to be mean and strong in
yeah.
order to get down on this.
None of this is about kindness. It's about political manipulation for tax hikes, yeah. and that's all it is. Well, Dean, I appreciate you sharing your stories with us, and like I said, I'm going to get in there and see you before you close the doors after 99 years of that location for Hardwick's.
Before you disappeared, did you see those paintings that my grandmother did?
I did. Beautiful. I'm glad you shared that with me.
Okay, great.
Yeah, your family has very deep roots in this state.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Dean Hardwick, the store is Hardwick's there on 42nd and Roosevelt. Always a pleasure talking with you, sir.
Okay, thanks, Dory.
And I'd love to hear what you think about all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Like a fly on the wall with my secret eyes, taking it in, try to be feminine with my makeup bag, watching all the sun. Misfit, I sit lit up. Baby, Ursula, what would it take to get you to have another kid at this point?
A miracle.
Nicole, what would it take to get you to have a kid?
Well, I would say not much at this point, but that's not true.
Do you like burgers?
Yeah, the reason I bring all this up isn't because I'm some kind of perv.
That did sound kind of
weird.
Yeah,
really did. Yeah. Yeah, as soon as I said it, I was uncomfortable with
kind
myself.
Of
So over in Russia, they're having the World Cup, and the brainiacs behind Burger King, they thought that it would be a great idea to offer any woman who got impregnated by a World Cup soccer player, they would give that woman $47,000 and a lifetime supply of the famous Whopper burger.
Mm. With bacon and cheese?
I don't know.
Only $47,000, though? I mean, if you talk about the cost of raising a child.
Well, what they said, yeah, it's $250,000 to raise a kid. And they said that they were promising this reward to women in Russia because it would bring in the best football genes that would ensure the success of the Russian national team for generations to come.
How? Okay, imagine this. There had to be a few people in a room thinking that this was a good idea.
That is rather but it's a few Russian people, and I think that in treatment of women, they probably aren't quite as evolved as we are here in this country. I mean, and
I would say that probably even some third world countries, they would think of something better than this one.
Did you see what they got in trouble for last year?
No.
For using the likeness of a 16-year-old rape victim to promote a buy one, get one free burger deal.
No.
Oh, no.
Yes. No, I'm not joking. They have some issues over there with their marketing.
Burger King has now apologized for the clearly offensive promotion and said it certainly does not reflect our brand or our values, and they're going to take steps to ensure this type of activity does not happen again.
I mean, you would think that there would be something in place already. Burger King is a worldwide chain. If they're worried about their image, there needs to be some kind of vetting process before this. I mean,
you know, what I'm guessing? There was a little vodka involved in this. It was a bunch of guys sitting around, and they had to have a brainstorming meeting, and they probably pull out a bottle of Stoli. And then that's what they come up with. They either thought it'd be hilarious, or they thought that it would be a great way to keep the Russian team well stocked for years to come.
They're probably thinking this is an original idea. Sorry, Sean, an original idea for having it your way.
Well, Dory, you've heard how the Dairy Queen got pregnant, right?
I don't want to hear that.
The Burger King forgot to wrap his Whopper.
Actually, when I put my head in my hands and I'm rubbing my eyes and forehead and I say I don't want to hear this, it usually literally means I don't want to hear it.
I still have to learn your gestures.
Yeah. The face palm where I'm rubbing my forehead before you even give the line, where I'm rubbing my eyes and my face is all crinkled up.
Right.
You know Dory's going to try to remember that one.
No, I'm not. I wasn't even listening. Oh. Okay. Well, so now we're no better than Burger King because of you.
Hey, I'll have it my way, I guess.
Okay. So anyway, good luck to the Russians in future World Cup matches. Okay, we got a lot more to do. A lot more to do as we head into...
Sorry, I thought my mic was off.
I'm trying to run a classy operation here. Okay.
Oh, you're so classy.
Yeah, nothing but class. So we got Jenny Durkin down on the Tex-Mex border, but maybe she could and should be doing a little bit better here in Seattle. And also, if you didn't hear the breaking news of the noon hour, Bob Ferguson and Jay Inslee with an absolute clown show of a press conference. We will review what's been a really embarrassing day to be a resident of this city and state. So that is all coming up in the Big Lead of Two next.